CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's talk about Prince. I've got Randall on the line. Randall Abrams is a massive Prince fan. He's been to so many Prince concerts. I've got to ask him how many. I can't remember how many it is now. But we've got to find out from him, because he's the guy who really, I mean, he was telling me about Prince. We were talking about him actually when we were filming Idols just recently. Randall, this is a sad situation. 57 is not old.
No, 57 is not old at all. I mean, in the modern context, you know, you've still got Dylan making records. I mean, Dylan's got a record coming out later this year. Springsteen's got an autobiography coming out this year and is on tour doing an album of his from 1980 called The River. So, no, 57 is very young.
Now, when we look at these things, it's always difficult to assess immediately after someone's gone what their contribution was. But you've been a Prince fan for many years, and you've looked at him from the point of view of his entire career for a long, long time. You've been to how many concerts?
I saw him in 2004. Went to 4 shows in a row.
Jeez. So yeah, I mean, you kind of got a good idea, good feeling there.
Yeah.
What is his contribution, and where does he fit into the Hall of Fame, so to speak,
the pantheon?
Yeah, how does he fit into that?
You know, I think there's so many things about him. I mean, let's talk about it musically first. Prince was writing, producing, arranging, and performing entire albums by himself right at the beginning of his career. You know, you turn around the back of the record and it would say written, performed, arranged, and produced by Prince.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was a time long before computers. So, you know, I'm sure there are lots of people who do it all themselves today, but they're not actually playing the instrument. He was playing the drums, playing the bass, playing the guitar. He was a prodigy. He was writing, you know, really, really, really amazing songs. And then, you know, he became a movie star with Purple Rain. He did that slew of really great albums in the 80s, Purple Rain, Around the World in a Day, Parade, Sign of the Times, Diamonds and Pearls. And then the other thing is that musically, he always followed his muse. So he'd make records on his own, or he'd have a band like The Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the height of their career, he broke up The Revolution. He formed another band. And you know, right up until recently, he was performing with a group called Third Eye Girl in 2013, you know, made up of very, very young, kind of in their 20s musicians. So in so many ways, he's significant.
Yeah. Also, his actual name was Prince. He made it through 4 decades of, arguably even 5 decades of incredible change and constant reinvention. But he was a real showman. I mean, he would never go on stage and just, you know, sit there and sing.
He was not only a showman. He had this amazing ability to do things with real cool. And I'm sure that you've been watching what's trending about Prince at the moment. But one of the things that's trending is when he kicked Kim Kardashian off stage recently. He was playing this big NBA kind of all-star after-party thing.
Yeah.
And there were all these A-listers there who weren't really listening to the music.
Right.
But Kim Kardashian gets up on stage. She hasn't been invited. I mean, I've been to Prince shows and I've seen him invite people up onto the stage. She hasn't been invited. He pushes her very coolly off stage, and he just looks at her as if to say, oh, come on. And he says, only in America. You know?
Isn't it true that he had a huge fight with Sinead O'Connor? Like, she was summoned to his house after he'd written Nothing Compares to You, and he'd said to her, you can sing it. Then he invited her to his house, and the two of them had an argument.
I honestly, I don't know anything about that story. What I will say is he didn't actually write the song for her. He wrote the song for his girlfriend at the time, Susanna Melbourne. She had a band called The Family.
Yeah.
And that song is actually on a record by The Family. The other thing is that, you know, we mustn't forget the business side of Prince either.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, up until very recently, I'm sure if you go to YouTube now, you're not going to see a lot of clips.
No.
Because Prince made sure that they take them down.
Right.
He didn't want his work on YouTube. He didn't think that he got properly remunerated for it. And he also, you know, wanted to control artistically what people saw of him.
Right.
So some guy, you know, filmed him at Coachella, for example, on a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want that up on YouTube. And I think that's, you know, that's testimony to his artistry, to his belief that, you know, he should be viewed as an artist and he should always be appreciated as an artist.
What about his kind of his personal life was very interesting too, because he was such a strange dude. He had some health problems now in the last year, but people didn't expect him to die, and it seems very sudden.
It does seem extremely sudden. I mean, you know, he's been performing until very, very recently.
Yeah.
You know, just 2 weeks ago, he was performing in Atlanta at the Fox Theater.
Right.
He was doing these kind of shows at his studio, at his home. And, you know, it does seem rather extremely sudden, you know.
Yeah,
and in fact,
he said he had flu. He said he was taking a break because he had flu.
Yeah, that's right.
And they found him at his studios.
Yes, at his home in the elevator alone.
Jeez.
You know, but again, you know, I've been watching the news channels and what they've been saying. The fact is that I guess you know anything can happen. I mean, they're saying that, you know, if you have respiratory problems and if you have the flu and you maybe don't take it seriously, this can happen. But I think what we should do on that front is just wait. For a final medical report. But interestingly, I mean, he's been quite prolific lately. I mean, there's been new albums. There's talk of reissues of albums like Purple Rain that they've been working on. He had an album that was coming out on streaming service Tidal, which Jay-Z owns. He'd actually been doing one or two talk shows even. And
yes.
He'd been touring. He was in Australia until recently. So, you know, I think it's just great that people had the opportunity to see him right up until the very end.
What about the legacy now? I mean, you know, it's sort of in the same category as someone like Michael Jackson or David Bowie.
Absolutely. I think the part of Prince's legacy that he would like remembered, and which I can tell you will definitely be remembered, because I've been contacted by so many really different people about Prince passing away, which was not the case with respect to Michael Jackson passing away. And they've all got a special song, a special album. And I think Prince would, that's what he would like. He would like people not just to talk about When Doves Cry, or, you know, Purple Rain. You would like people maybe to speak about songs like Mountains from Parade or Adore, which is the song that closes Sign of the Time. You know, and I think that there are just so many great songs that, you know, people will, you know, they will remember a very special song that means something to them, which isn't one of the great hits. And that is Prince's, to my mind, is a very significant part of his legacy, in that he was always about music. On one of the talk shows, someone who knew him said that he said to them, you know, you think in words, but I think in music. You know, when I'm sitting here talking to you, I suddenly have a melody in my head and I you know, get inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, to have a special Prince song that isn't one of the hits, I think that is going to be what he would like to be remembered for, if I can go as far as to say that.
What a guy. Well, it's very, very sad that he should be gone so soon, because in this case, he was making good music right to the end.
Absolutely. And also, he'd embarked on writing a book, on writing an autobiography, which I really, really think, you know, would have been, you know, really, really interesting, because we know so little about him. Being such a private individual.
Yeah, how did he keep all of that private? He was very close to sort of, he didn't have cameras following him all over the place.
No.
He lived in Minnesota, which is probably one of the most dull and dreary parts of America. He kept himself completely out of the tabloids.
And that if you got the remarkable opportunity to interview him,
yep.
No matter who you were, so if you were Billboard magazine, the Bible of the music business,
yeah.
No recorders, and you couldn't take notes during the photo during the interview session.
I heard stories.
You have to remember what the conversation was about, then go and write about it.
you couldn't actually write down notes.
No, and very, very, very few live DVDs. So I saw him in 2004, and he was doing, you know, a massive greatest hits tour. There were some amazing nights. I mean, the night I saw him in Atlanta, Morris Day was in Purple Rain, and he was in a band called The Time, opened for Prince. It was the only night of the tour that someone opened for him.
Mm-hmm.
The second night I saw him, he sang Nothing Compares to You with Maceo Parker and Candy Dolfo on saxophone. And, you know, there were these amazing nights. Danny Kaye, for example, saw him at the O2, and I think he was doing, if I'm not mistaken, kind of like 20 nights in a row. It was, or 21 nights, I think it was called. Wow. And there was a photo book that came out of it, but not a DVD. Which artist in the world wouldn't want to take advantage of their legacy? You know, and release DVDs of these incredible live performances. Prince. And do you know why?
No.
Because he wanted you to be there.
Right.
He wanted you to experience for yourself live what he was all about. He didn't think that you're watching a DVD of him would give you any idea of what the experience was like.
I heard a story about how he would sometimes do these private concerts, and
yeah.
people would be invited, and then he would have no, you wouldn't be able to see him. He'd sit at the piano. He'd have a light so that he could see where the keys were, but you couldn't see Prince, and he would even have his back to you, and he'd
yep.
be playing and he'd be singing, and you just have to enjoy it, even though you came to see Prince.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, that is about the artistry, and I worried about that, actually, when I went to see him on tour, but when I went to see him on tour, he played all the hits, he played bass, he played drums, he did cover versions of everything from Elvis to Led Zeppelin. You know, he was just absolutely on it. And I was watching one of his former band members saying like how he used to draw them. He used to draw them in the same way that James Brown would. So after a show, you know, he might either go and play another few hours at a small club and go and jam with a band there, or he would go back, show the band the DVD of the show that they just performed and say, you know, you could have been better there, I could have been better there, you should have come in earlier on that keyboard part. I mean, you know, incredible discipline.
Wow, what a sad day then. I mean, I'm very sad. I'm very sad for music. I'm very sad for all of us. Sad for you, but I mean, what a loss to humanity, really. I mean, look, he's made his contribution and the music will live on. And there is a very, very comprehensive lexicon of information and usefulness and artistry that's been left behind.
Yeah. The other thing that we must mention, just from that perspective, obviously, is this infamous vault, you know, this repository of thousands of unreleased songs.
Mm.
So that is going to be quite interesting for me, is going to be who controls Prince's legacy, you know, after he's died. But I think that the person who's going to control Prince's legacy after he's died is Prince. I think that he's been very meticulous, I can only imagine, in what gets released and what doesn't get released, because he's been able to see, you know, how if you're not controlling your legacy, how others may take advantage of it and not, you know, place you in the position that you'd want to be.
He's probably put three or four lawyers in charge and left very specific instructions.
I have a feeling. Oh. I definitely have a feeling.
All right. Well, thank you, Randall. I know you were a massive fan, and you got to see him a couple of times, so I thought you were exactly the person to help us figure out how he fits into everything.
And, thanks so much.
Yeah, cool. Have a good weekend.
All the best.
There we go. Randall Abrams and Idol's Judge, you know. Head of Universal Music.
Okay.
Prince fan. Went to see him like four times in a row. Loves the guy.
So I actually have a couple of weird Prince stories that the general public probably doesn't know, but they've now been released. So for example, back in 2004, Prince casually rented out this house. Now, you know, as someone who's renting a house, you need to respect certain
yeah.
rules that
sure.
the landlord states. Prince is like, ain't about that life. The landlord actually came back to this house he was renting Prince, $70,000 US dollars a month. The fountain was dyed with purple actual right. like dye. So that looks like Purple Rain in the whole entire scenario. And then also the main gate was also transformed with Prince's logo out on front.
So he actually changed this house he was renting.
Exactly. And so when the landlord actually complained, he said, "Here, Boozer, here's a little check for about $1 million. It'll take care of everything." And also, Prince was actually meant to duet with Michael Jackson on his song Bad.
Uh-huh.
But he actually said no because of the first line, which is, "Your butt is mine."
Oh, right. He wouldn't do it. He was like really, he was strangely, I suppose he had his own ethical kind of superstructure going on. But this guy wouldn't do certain things and he would do certain things. And there's just no breaking of his rules.
Yeah. He actually said to he asked Michael, whose butt is yours? Because you ain't saying that to me. And that was it. He did not sing on the song.
And he was
at
little.
All.
He was a little guy. He used to wear these heels and these outrageous outfits.
Definitely stood his ground. And then lastly, sure. on why he always looks so young, Prince says, "Time is a mind construct. It's definitely not real." Mm-hmm. So there we go.
I watched the YouTube clip of him kicking Kim Kardashian off stage. Legendary. He's busy like singing. She gets on stage and she starts like
with
clapping,
big,
acting
with
like
that big fat backside of hers. Yeah.
He walks up to her and goes, "Get off stage," into the microphone and pushes her.
That's beautiful.
And like
beautiful.
Security comes and takes her off.
God bless Prince.
Oh, that's legendary.
What a guy. All right, here's what you need to know.
In a few short hours, that plain fence outside Prince's Paisley Park studio became a wall of purple sadness. One by one, they came, they cried, and they hugged.
Heard it on the radio, and I had to come. My gut just said I had to come.
They are fans of Prince's music and fans of his mystery.
The best thing I ever saw him do live is he covered a Led Zeppelin song, and I couldn't believe I saw Prince cover a Led Zeppelin song. Whole lot of love.
Big memory.
Whole lot of love. I mean, that's what today really probably is going to end up being about.
Word of Prince's death began to spread mid-morning, and by night, a crowd of mostly stunned silence waited and watched for details. Investigator vehicles came in and out, eventually taking the music legend's body away, making it all the more final.
I got his music, so life goes on with that.
At one point, Prince's sister Tyka came out to thank fans and share some of the love and acknowledge the impact.
The world lost a legend.
And in Chanhassen, people felt a special bond. He was a superstar, yes, but mostly a good neighbor. And this is a place where people will remember the music and the words to his songs.
Life still goes on, you know, and we are still in the land of the living, so let's go crazy.
Wow, there we go. So there it is. Prince is gone. And you know what? The music does live on, which is a good thing. But I feel just the same.
Iris Perez.
What the hell's that? I do feel just the same as I did when David Bowie went. Horrible. Two great legends of music. Isn't that interesting that he has like a treasure trove of stuff that we haven't heard yet?
Yeah.
That he has to unlock?
You see, the thing with people of this nature, you know, people who are this talented, they're never actually normal at the end of the day, though, are they? No. It's almost like it's a requirement. You have to be strange in some way.
They're eccentric.
Eccentric, yeah. CliffCentral.com.